Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
The Jets are 0-11. It's 11 a.m. and Adam Gase still is the head coach. Tim McMaster here along with Connor Hughes, our Jets beat writer at The Athletic, and our producer, Marissa Morris, as well. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast if you haven't already. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple as well. That really helps us out. A lot to get to. Obviously, we're going to talk about Gase and the latest stuff there. We'll talk about a defense that had some moments on Sunday, but mainly we're going to talk about another bad performance by the Jets as a team and Sam Darnold as a quarterback. Connor, first up though, how was Thanksgiving?
Well, I was fine. that one was good.
Yeah, the last 7 days.
Yeah, it was fine. The deep fried turkey paid off. You know, it's actually funny. Like, my mom's a tremendous cook. Like, just like I always say, my mom and Brie are two great cooks. And for the first year though, she screwed up the turkey. Like, no one ever trusts me to do the deep fried turkey. Last year was like the first year I tried to do it. Then obviously I did it this year. No one ever trusts me to do it. So my mom roasts a turkey
as a backup.
My mom roasts a turkey and as the backup turkey, and then I deep fry the turkey. So, like, if I screw up, at least we still have something to eat on Thanksgiving. And we're going amazing. Out for, like, Chinese food or sushi or, like, you know, trying to make a stop to TGI Fridays. So, for the first time, like, my sister's boyfriend is, I'm cutting the deep fried turkey, which turned out bomb. And my sister's boyfriend is cutting the roasted turkey that my mom cooked. And like three slices in, I kind of hear him like cutting it, kind of, and then going a little slower. And then he kind of turns to my sister, goes, he's like, I don't think it's cooked. The whole thing was like pink inside. Like, it was the weirdest. Like, my mom has made turkeys my entire life. She's never had an issue before. She was like crying, laughing. She's like, I have no idea what happened. She goes, I have no idea how the turkey's not cooked. So pretty much the only turkey we had were like the butt ends of the one that she cooked that were smaller. And then the one that I made, the deep fried one. But it was good. I mean, next year we're going to get, I told her, like, my mom's got like that little butterball baby deep fryer, like the one that like opens up like it opens up like this, and you put it in there and then you shut the lid. It's not like the real, you know, tube thing. So I told her, like, next year we're doing the real thing. We'll get the propane tank. We'll get the real one, and we'll actually deep fry a whole bird. So you can really fit in like that butterball thing as like a turkey breast. So that's getting kind of, I think I've advanced. You know, I've mastered the butterball. Now I need my tube where I can try to set the house on fire.
All right. So all is well there.
Well, talking about the house on fire, that's a good transition.
Sorry, let's get on with this team and Sam Darnold, because we've played along with the excuse game throughout this season. You know, he's banged up. The shoulder's not right. He doesn't have his receivers. Everything was fine. The weather was even fine on Sunday. Sam Darnold's out there, healthy, full allotment of receivers. For one drive, it looked good. 3 for 4, 59 yards. They go down the field. They kick a field goal. Okay, here we go. The Jets have the lead. But then it all fell apart, Connor, and it was bad. And the excuses are over. Sam Darnold as a Jet is a bad quarterback.
Look, I'm honestly, like, I'm over it. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I've listened. I was willing to give the Jets the benefit of the doubt. You know, I was willing to say that it's time to wake up if you're Connor, because there's my alarm. I was willing to, like, give this team the benefit of the doubt. I was willing to say, like, you're right, you know, that there's reasons to explain some of Sam Darnold's blunders when he's playing top-tier talent and he's throwing to Josh Malone, Braxton Berrios, and Jeff Smith. You know, I'm willing to write it off as a guy who just needs some help when he's trotting out there and Chris Herndon's in his funk, Ryan Griffin's still not totally back, and he's dropping back and looking for Trevon Wesco over the middle. There is something to needing to surround your quarterback with talent and needing to get your guys there, and that can mask issues and hide deficiencies and all that stuff. This Sunday, the excuses were gone. This Sunday, there were no more variables. This Sunday, Sam lined up under center, and he had Denzel Mims out left. He had Rashad Perryman out right. He had Jamison Crowder in the slot. He had almost his whole offensive line there, but you had the pieces that you really needed when you talk about Becton and McGovern, and you kind of could make things worth it left and right guard. And honestly, Connor McDermott did all right on the right side. I mean, that offensive line yesterday, they did enough to protect Sam Darnold. That wasn't an issue. He even had Chris Herndon with his hand in the dirt and all of his newfound confidence after finally catching a pass and managing to get in the end zone a week ago. All of this was in Sam's favor. All of this was an offense that actually managed to look competent the last 2 weeks with Joe Flacco under center, where he threw 5 touchdowns. The Jets lost by 3 points and 5 points. Everything was going the Jets' way. Sam Darnold took that field. He walked out on Sunday, and he looked exactly the same with his weapons as he did when he didn't have any of them. The completion percentage, under 62% again. The passing yards, under 200 yards again. Touchdown list for the 4th consecutive start again. Boneheaded turnovers into double coverage decisions that should be extinct from his game 2 years ago. Forget about him being in year 3 making his 33 start. Back again. There's no excusing Sam Darnold anymore. There's no more, oh, just wait for this, just wait for that. The guy is a bad quarterback right now. Can he change? Can he get better? Can he evolve? Can some coach maybe get something better out of him? Sure. Look what happened to Ryan Tannehill. Look what's happened to other quarterbacks. Kerry Collins was another one. He was considered a bust, got to the Giants. He ended up making something, making nothing into something. But right now, we are not at a point anymore like we thought we were 4 months ago, where we were like, you know what? If the Jets somehow manage to finish this season 1-15, 2-14, and they have the number one pick, you got to draft Trevor Lawrence. But if you're picking number two, if you're picking number three, you're still keeping Sam Darnold. You trade that pick for a bounty. No, that is not where we are at right now. This is no longer Trevor Lawrence or bust. This isn't Trevor Lawrence or ride Sam Darnold. This isn't Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or ride Sam Darnold. This is the Jets need a quarterback. They need a quarterback because they do not have one. Because when I watch Sam Darnold play football, I don't understand anything that is happening. Adam Gase ain't helping him. And we'll get into that in a bit. Adam Gase is not making anything better at all. No way, shape, or form is Adam Gase helping the situation. It's just getting worse. And this play calling, non-play calling stuff is absolutely mind-bogglingly dumb. And I don't get it. And I'm never going to get it. And I can't wait to rant for another 5 minutes about that. But when you just dissect...
5 minutes?
Yeah.
When you selling just, yourself short.
Yeah, right, yeah. But when you just dissect Sam Darnold, what I see is a guy who is not getting better, a guy who is getting worse, a guy whose mechanics are failing him, a guy whose decision-making is failing him, a guy who makes 2 or 3 throws a game that leaves you just scratching your head saying, what the hell is he thinking? That first interception he threw, Tim, he's rolling out to the right side of the sideline. He had Mims open the middle, over the middle, for whatever reason, didn't throw it. Rolling out to the right, clearly nothing there, still in field goal range with plays to live. And instead of just tossing the ball out of bounds and trying to get the Jets some points and living to fight another day, he throws it across his body to Jamison Crowder with a corner on him and a safety coming back down, and he's picked off. What is he thinking? The second interception, staring down his receiver, seeing Howard is all over his receiver and throwing it anyway, and not even throwing a ball his receiver might be able to make a grab, throwing it telegraphed right to Howard's gut. Like, this is it. It's done. It's done. It's not working. And you can't tell me, oh, he needs more weapons. Oh, he needs better coaching. Oh, he needs this. Oh, he needs that. Joe Flacco, the last 2 weeks, looked like a competent quarterback running a competent offense where he's hitting Rashad Perryman deep down the field. He's hitting Denzel Mims for 50-50 balls. He's getting Chris Herndon going. He's staying upright behind the offensive line. Sam Darnold was supposed to pick up where Joe Flacco left off. He was supposed to pick up and move forward and finally got the weapons. You're going to see with the Sam Darnold that everyone believed was a franchise quarterback, yada, yada. No, this was the worst offensive showing that the Jets have had since the last time they played the Dolphins. And don't give me this thing about the Dolphins have a good defense, they've got a good secondary, yada, yada, yada. They look like garbage last week. They look like garbage last week. There is no reason the Jets should have had 3 points. There's no reason Sam Darnold, in a league where Tyreek Hill had 203 receiving yards in a quarter, that your starting quarterback should be under 200 passing yards. The Jets scored as many points as the Broncos this Sunday with Sam Darnold under center, and the Broncos started a practice squad receiver. A practice squad receiver. And they scored 3 points. The Jets had Sam Darnold and all of his goddamn weapons, and they scored 3 points. It just can't happen anymore. It can't. Like, he's not it. He's not the answer. I was wrong. I'll be the first one to say I was wrong about Sam Darnold. I thought the Jets had a franchise quarterback. I thought the Jets had the guy to replace Joe Namath. I'm getting text messages from Bree asking why I'm screaming. That's where the Jets have driven me right now. Like, that's where the Jets have driven me. But I thought the Jets had their guy. I thought it finally happened. I thought that this was it. I did. I thought they had the guy. I'm sorry, Jet fans. My bad. I was wrong. Sam is not the answer. My bad. I was wrong.
But maybe he could have been. You never know. You know what I mean? Don't take all the blame, Connor.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't the only one.
Share some blame for the rest of the organization and everything that's going on. But, I mean, more to your point, too, you talk about these receivers who actually did make some pretty great plays for Sam, which is makes his numbers even worse, right? Because he was so bad, and he got a great catch from Perryman along the way. He got a couple of nice catches from Mims. One thing that stood out to me, Herndon, 44 snaps, zero targets. They didn't even look
well,
for Herndon after
to.
1 week. And that could be on Herndon, right?
No,
I mean, he's been a disaster.
No,
but,
this is the bullshit okay. that we keep sinking into. No, you have a playmaker, throw him the ball. I don't care.
Bring and last week we saw what he could do.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Just put it up there and he finally has this momentum. And I know we're going to talk to Adam Gase in 3 hours. I know what we're going to hear. Well, you know, we had to make the protection better, so we were keeping him in line. You got two tight ends. You actually have three. You have two tight ends. Put Griffin there. Use Griffin to block and put Herndon, your unicorn, go run him and do stuff with him. Like, it's just, I'm over it. Because none of it makes sense anymore. From the play, I'm calling the plays, but I'm not play calling, to the Sam Darnold finally gets his weapon backs and he looks worse than the practice squad receiver that started for the Broncos. And it's just, I'm done. I'm over. It's done. And the Dolphins aren't that good. I'm sorry. They're not. The team's fine. The defense is solid. They're not the goddamn 85 Bears. And I'm sick of this freaking excuse. And then Gase, after the game, dropping some comment too about, oh, we're close. We're right around the corner. You just lost 20-3. Like, you weren't close. You want to know what that team did after they got that field goal on the first drive? I'm looking at it. Punt, 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 missed field goal, interception, punt, punt, turn it off downs, punt, interception. They got the ball twice inside the 40-yard line. They came away with 0 points. Like, yeah, they're close. Wait, what are you close to? Like, scoring a touchdown again? That's the measuring stick we're getting back to? Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
All right, lots to get to with Adam Gase, obviously. We'll talk about all the different things. But the first thing is that he's still the head coach. And, Connor, you mentioned he's speaking to the media at 2 o'clock. So he still will be. And there was, like, it seemed like there was some noise and some momentum towards maybe now's when he gets fired. I think we're at the point now where we can assume that Adam Gase will be the head coach through 16 games of the season. Why fire him now if you haven't already? But we got to start with the post-game Zoom call with Adam Gase and play calling gate, which, Connor, you became a part of as well. But Marissa, you have the clip. Let's roll it and listen to Adam Gase talking about the fact that nothing was different. He's still not calling the plays, kind of.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the 2 minute stuff.
You know what makes me laugh about that clip, the more I hear it, is he says he gives me the three plays, and then we go from there. And Connor, your follow-up is perfect because what happens after the three plays? Well, to be honest, on Sunday, they didn't really have to worry about
that. They don't get past it. Yeah. That is just like, so Chris Mortensen had the report right after the right before the Jet game about from ESPN. Chris, one of the best in the business. Obviously, he's been around forever. He's one of the highest reputation around. And he had that report where it was like, you know, Sam isn't the only one who's back. Adam Gase is back calling plays based on a bunch of player sources. And so I retweeted it because, like, there are people you trust. Like, when certain people report certain things, you trust it. And, like, I reported, and then there were some rumblings like within the Jets where it was like, no, that's not totally true. It's going to be the same as it's been. It's been the same as it's been. So I was like, all right, well, man, I mean, if you want me to refute it, like, you got to tell me straight up. Like, I'm not just going to go like my gut. I was like, I'm going to wait to see, but, you know, I'll refute it if you want me to refute it. But that's not something I would be refuting. So I got my binoculars out, my handy dandy binoculars, and I'm sitting there. Actually, me and Rich Cimini sit next to each other in the press box.
Because what else are you going to watch during this game, right? I mean,
certainly not the goddamn game. I'll tell you that much. So I'm sitting there, and the first series comes up, and I put my binoculars on, and I'm staring at the sideline, and I know where Adam Gase is, and I know where Dowell is. Gase has the headset on. He's got the master play sheet, and he's doing one of these where he's reading the play. Looking up, reading the play, looking up, then his head straight down, just reading the play, reading the play. Play sheet back, watching the play. Goes back up, reading the play, reading the play. Dowell has, I'm not kidding you, something about the size of this. This is what Dowell is holding.
Okay, for the audio listeners, and it's like a Connor forgets.
Skinny, yeah, notepad. Skinny notepad. Yes.
Reporter's notebook.
Yeah, I'm talking
notebook,
about a diner,
you know,
menu.
Is, yeah.
Like, I'm talking, it's like a brochure. Right. It honestly looks like a brochure. And he's holding the brochure like this.
With his arms crossed.
With his arms crossed and his speaking microphone above his head. And he's like this. At one point, because I'm like, okay, well, maybe like this is the first series of the game, right? Like the first, so the Jets script their first 14 right. plays. I was like, all right, maybe they, you know, Adam has the 14 plays written down. So maybe it is. Dow calls the plays, blah, blah, blah. Third quarter, I'm like, I'm going to watch this again because you don't script the first 14 plays of the second half. Adam, whole his big master diner sized play sheet. Reading the plays, sending them into Sam. Dowell, like this, talking to Frank Pollock, the Jets offensive line coach on the sideline, not even watching the play. Dowell's not even watching the play. He's talking to Frank Pollock. He's not watching what's happening. He's not calling the next one. So I'm like, this is egregious. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is not, he's not calling plays. Like, it's obvious. Like, it's clear. Like, because when Dowell was first given the play calling in the Bills game, and that was a big headline, the cameras have Dowell on the sideline. They see Dowell on the sideline, and Dowell has the headset. He's got the master sheet, and he's the one communicating directly with Sam. He's the one calling all of the plays. He's doing everything. And Adam had the brochure and was just kind of standing. And honestly, what I was kind of hoping for when the Jets said that, like if you want to sell build and growth and whatever within Gase in this scheme, that was when Gase gave up the offensive play calling, you would now see him on the sideline like, okay, now he's involved with the offensive lineman, right? Like he's over, he's talking to the tight ends. He's with the receivers. Now he's over in Sam's ear. He's going to Greg Williams, giving him some things that he's seeing from the offense on the other side, saying like, okay, here, I can tell what I'm an offensive genius. This is what this offense is doing. This is how maybe like you, if you want to look out for it, like he's going all around. Like you'd see Joe Judge or you'd see Doug Peterson or you would see any of these other head coaches. Instead, Adam was basically Dowell just standing on the sideline with his hand crossed, apparently, you know, walking around kicking, like literally at one point he was kicking the field turf. Like that's what he was doing. He wasn't involved at all, but Dowell was calling all the plays. This Dowell was never speaking. So after the game comes and Rich was the one who brought up, he's like, so why did you take, I didn't take the play calling back. He's like, we're watching Dowell literally do nothing. Now we're going to talk to Adam again here at 2 o'clock and he's going to be pressed on this. Like, he's going to be pressed on this, and he's going to be talked about it, and we're going to ask him all about this damn play calling gate and all of whatever this garbage is. Like, we're going to go into detail on this. My only thing that I can think of, because Gase is a lot of things. He's a lot of things. He can rub fans the wrong way, but I have gotten to know him pretty well over the last 2 years. Like, I like to think that I know him pretty well. He's not a liar. Like, he's not somebody who's going to lie to your face. Like, that's not him. Like he'll be one of those guys where he will honestly say, like when we get into injuries, he'll straight up say sometimes, be like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to say it. Like he'll go that far. I think what honestly is happening on the Jets sideline, which just literally makes things so much more complicated than they have to be. And it's just a guy who, in Adam Gase, who's called plays his entire life, not wanting to give up his baby because that's what he does. You know, he's not the motivator. He's not the player's coach. He's the guy who's going to be your head coach that out schemes the coach next to you. That's what he's going to out. He believes that he's going to out scheme the defense, and his system and his scheme is going to be better and outsmart you is what he thinks he's going to do. That's the kind of coach he is. So when you take away his baby, it's like, wow, it's tough for him. But anyway, so I think it's happening is that the Jets are on the sideline, Dal's sitting there, Adam's sitting there. Dal says, I think we should run these three plays to start the drive. Gase will take those three plays and write them down. Dal has now called those three plays. And then Gase will either call them or change them as he's relaying it to Sam Darnold.
But what if you get a first down? Which is doubtful.
You don't. Then
you don't. But the Jets had 10 of them yesterday. So they averaged a little over 2 a quarter. And I think 3 of them came on the first drive. So they don't. It's the real answer. But I think that is what I think that's what he was trying to say.
So in other words,
whatever
they're sharing. Whatever, I mean, why isn't the answer just, you know what? We share the play calling. End of story.
That's
right. Isn't that an easy answer? Honestly. Like sometimes Dal's in there. Sometimes I want to get my 2 minute stuff in and we kind of go back and forth and we share it. And that's all I'm saying about that. It's not that hard.
That's
like the media's hard dealing with the media.
The Jets are turning Tim. Tim's about to
rant. It's hard to deal with. I'm just saying like, the New York media is what it is. They're going to ask you tough questions, but they're not questions that you see coming out of left field, right? Generally, the New York media is going to ask you hard questions that you know are coming and that you can come up with a very succinct answer to. And it may not be the answer that everybody's looking for, but it can be a shutdown answer that stops the conversation. And instead of stopping this conversation, Gase goes on these weird diatribes where he just... It's like pouring gasoline on the fire. He just makes it worse. Like, dude, we share the play calling. Sometimes he has it. Sometimes I have it. Stop watching us with your binoculars. It's over. Like, that's it. I don't know.
Totally.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And like, we touched upon it too. Like, I thought that whole dilemma between the Jets, like, here's the thing with Gase. It's very similar to Sam Darnold. He's gotten the benefit of the doubt from ownership, from management, from Joe Douglas, from Jaime, from Christopher. Like, they've all kind of been willing to accept his struggles as Jets offensive coach last year and this year. They chalked it up last year, right? Because Sam Darnold missed a month with mono. They were like, all right, Sam was out a full month with mono in the first 5 games. That's why we went, or first few months of the season is why we went 1-7. But then he rallied for the 6-2 finish. Granted, it was against bad competition. Still, you saw Giants-Bengals yesterday, a 2-point game. I mean, teams play tight. Like, it's the NFL, unless you're the Jets. You won 6-2. So, all right, we're going to give him this there. Now, suddenly, you have Sam Darnold in the lineup, but you got Sam Darnold without his top three receivers. Then the top three receivers come back, but then Sam Darnold's out. Then Sam Darnold gets back in, but then two of the receivers drop down. Then the two receivers come in, but then Sam's out again. The offense... What Adam kept saying publicly, like he said it in these press conferences, was like, we need to get all our weapons back. We can't stretch the field because we don't have Breshad Perriman. We can't do this because we don't have Crowder. It's tough when you don't have Denzel Mims, a guy that we were counting on to be our starting receiver. This game against the Dolphins was the swan song of everyone is now here. You have Sam Darnold back. You have, as I said, the offensive line relatively together. You have all three receivers. You have Chris Herndon. The excuses, like they were built in for Sam Darnold, why he wasn't having success, they were the same excuses that were built in for why Adam Gase wasn't having success. So now this was, and I think it's one of the reasons why Adam took back play calling without taking back play calling, was I think to show management and show ownership, this is what I can do when I have all of my pieces. Sam, my receivers, the offensive line, and we're playing a Dolphins, a divisional foe we know well. This I can do this. Like, this is his opportunity. And the Jets came out in his opportunity and scored 3 points, picked up 10 first downs, were under 300 yards, all these things that we've already stressed, like all these things that we've said. Were like, I mean, again, I've gone over it before, but the Jets' possessions since they went down the field, right? First play or first series, 9 plays, 55 yards to get a field goal, drive all the way down to the Miami 20-yard line. Like, they were looking really good. They had a chance to score all that stuff. After that, their yards gained, the yards netted. This is their total net yards, like when you remove sacks and stuff like that. 14, 25, 4, 82, 30, 19, 1, 8, 0, 2. Those punts ended in punt, 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 missed field goal, interception, punt, punt, turnover on downs, punt, interception. That's what Adam Gase's offense
Brayden did. Man looked really good.
Yeah, he did. He did, actually. But you ask, like, why haven't the Jets fired Adam Gase yet? Their reasons were, and it's what we've gone over, they don't like the alternatives on the play calling with the, you know, they don't like who they turn the offense over. They don't think that you would that they would get any better with Dow Loggins or Jim Bob Cooter calling the plays compared to Adam Gase. They don't trust Greg Williams to take over as the head coach because they don't know if everyone in the organization really takes him seriously. They don't want to create this belief that the Johnsons are willing to pull the trigger or too early and basically call quits on a guy when he doesn't have the success or the talent to actually have success. Like all of these reasons that were set out and why they haven't fired Adam Gase. And then the other thing was he's not having success because we're missing all of our playmakers. This game, the excuses ran out. There is no longer anything that you can take your hat on and hang it on the wall and say, I'm keeping Adam Gase here because of this. It's done. It's not Sam Darnold. He is regressing. He was regressing without his weapons. He's regressing with his weapons. It's not the play calling. Because if Dow called the plays against the Bills and Dow's called the plays against the Chargers and Dow called more of the plays against the Patriots, they were significantly more successful than Adam Gase clearly being heavily involved in the play calling, more so in the past, where this offense manages under 300 yards and scores 3 points, right? You can't chalk off that. The whole quick trigger finger, it's over now. The Jets have given Adam Gase every opportunity to show that he is what they wanted him to be when they hired him last year. They gave him the coming back last year after the 1-7 start. They stuck with him when the fan base and players and all of this stuff turned on him. They stuck with him when this year at 0-5, at 0-8, at 0-10, they stuck with him and they kept him because they were like, you know what? You still don't have everything here. We're gonna give you another opportunity. They don't have a quick trigger finger. Everyone's wondering why the Jets haven't fired him yet. Like, that's what they've stuck him with. Now, what's left? It's five games. It's not getting any better. I guess you have the West Coast trip where maybe, but still, give Denard Wilson a shot to be a head coach. He's somebody that a lot of people believe has up-and-coming potential, kind of similar when Todd Bowles took over as the interim head coach with the Dolphins. Give Denard a shot. Get rid of Dowell. Get rid of Adam. Get rid of Greg Williams. Let Denard Wilson only be the head coach, but get kind of like the pseudo-defensive coordinator. Have Jim Bob Cooter call the plays. It cannot get any worse than what it is now. It's only getting worse. And in my mind, honestly, if the Jets do decide to keep Adam Gase, which obviously it looks like they're doing this week, we're talking to him in an hour and a half, and it's not going to be or 2 hours, basically. It's not they're not going to fire him now before we talk to him at 2 o'clock or fire him right after we talk to him at 2 o'clock. I mean, that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that because I also thought it was ridiculous to fire a general manager like 2 weeks after
it's
the draft.
It's 2020. I mean, come on. Like, he would speak and then they might fire him after. So who knows?
Yeah, they call it Chris like kind of pings into the Zoom. Like, hey, Adam, after you're done there, you're 10 minutes. No, but I honestly, like, if you're keeping him now, it's just because you're like, just don't F up the tank.
Right.
Just don't screw up the tank. Trevor Lawrence is there. We're five games away. We're not going to beat the Raiders. We're certainly not beating the Seahawks. We're not beating the Rams. We're probably not beating the Browns. We might beat the Patriots, but at that point, the Jaguars do have a game against the absolutely atrocious Chicago Bears, and the Jaguars should beat the Bears, and by that point, we'll be fine. And worst case scenario, we're finishing with the number two pick, because in order for us to not finish with the number two pick, we'd have to go 3-2 down the stretch. That is no shot in happening. So at least they're getting number one or number two. Just don't rock the boat. It's going bad. If Adam wants to call his plays, let him call his plays. If this wants to be that you're calling plays, I'm calling plays, you're calling plays, no, he's actually calling the plays, I'm just calling the plays in, whatever. Just don't rock the boat. Don't get a win. Just close this one out, and let's hit the reset button. Let's get rid of Gase. Let's get rid of Darnold. We'll flip him for, I thought 2-5 was possible, 3-5. If Sam keeps playing like he did on Sunday, the Jets would be lucky to get a 4. Seriously, they would be lucky to get a 4th-round pick for a guy if he keeps playing like he did here, because Sam looks like shit. He looks terrible. And if you're not getting a 2nd-5 for that, you're not. I don't care what grade people had on him coming out of USC. I don't care what people thought of him. I don't care how much people think the Jets effed him over. It don't matter. Yeah. You ain't getting a 2nd-5 for that. There is no one in their right mind is giving up a 2nd- or 5th-round pick for that when you got to pay him in a year. Like, no, not happening. That's not worth the gamble. Like, maybe a 4 right now if he keeps playing like this. That was awful. But just don't rock the boat. And next year, Joe will have his $95 million in salary cap space. He'll go out and get Matt Judon from the Ravens. He'll get Allen Robinson from the Bears. He'll get Joe Tooney from the Patriots. He'll use the first pick in the draft to take Trevor Lawrence or the 2nd pick to Justin Fields. He'll grab a corner with his 2nd 1st-round pick. He'll go into the second round and take either the best pass rusher or offensive lineman available, and then he'll go BPA the rest of the way and really start to round out this thing. Because the one thing about this Jets team that you can hang your hat on, the one thing that you can honestly believe in, aside from Quinnen Williams, who we'll get to, it's Joe Douglas. Because you look at his draft this year, and a lot of it looks really, really good. You look at the reputation he comes with. He's meeting it thus far. He'll do it. He'll get this team back on track. Just don't screw up the tank right now and get yourself the generational passer and the real thing to build this team around.
All right, I do want to get to the defense. One other thing I don't think we need to harp on from Gase that just drove me nuts on Sunday was, and this is no surprise, fourth down on the Dolphins side of the field and punting, which he did. And then he finally goes for it on fourth and one, which was a no-brainer there, and he runs it up the middle with an offensive line that, and we'll get to this too, was shorthanded. Just nothing makes sense. But onto the defense.
Right up the middle on Frank Gore, right? I called that. I know. As soon as I saw they were coming out for fourth and one, I was like, Frank Gore up the middle? Yep. Frank Gore. Right
there
up
it
the
was. As for the defense, there was anything to be optimistic about. There were parts of this game when this defense was really good. When this team was down 13-3 in that third quarter, the defense continually gave them chances to get back into it. Gave them a short field, got turnovers, was really good. And they obviously didn't do anything with it, but it all started with Quinnen Williams, who Connor in year two, it seems like he's getting better and better with each passing week. You look at the numbers, 1.5 sacks, 2 pass defenses, forced fumble, 3 QB hits. And it was a situation where you just kept seeing him, right? We talked about Quinnen Williams' rookie year sometimes being invisible. On Sunday, every time this team was on defense, you saw Quinnen Williams. You just kept seeing him in the backfield, doing things, making plays, and it's just one more guy you can kind of be excited about going forward, even though this team's 0-11.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that's the every time I Joe Douglas, yada yada, Denzel Mims. No, I mean, like, Denzel Mims, I think, can be a good player. Like, I think he'll be good. I don't think Denzel is, like, Pro Bowl. I don't think Denzel's all pro. Like, I think he's going to be the perfect complement. You know what I mean? Like, when the Jets get their number one wideout in here, Denzel's going to be the guy where, like, you have to focus so much attention on this player. But how can you only give one-on-one? Because he's going to stretch the field and beat guys and make contested catches. Like, he's going to be good. Becton, obviously, all pro, but, I mean, he's a left tackle. So he's not – you need that franchise left tackle. He's going to be – I mean, he is – Becton's going to be an all pro. But he's going to be top five in the NFL. Like, he's going to be that good. But still, like, you don't really – like, he's an offensive lineman. It's not the sexy position. You know what I mean? It's not going to generate all of the, like, the love and stuff like that. You're not going to see him week in week. And honestly – the more you don't know about, the more you don't realize Becton's out there, that's when you know he's better playing. Quinnen is the guy that is really coming into his own. I mean, he quietly has 5 sacks this season. Like, that's a lot for a 34 defensive end. I mean, you can't look at, like, J.J. Watt numbers and Aaron Donald numbers because those guys are just on another stratosphere. Like, those are different players. You have to look at, like, normal 34 defensive ends comparing to, like, Chris Jones with the Chiefs, you know, Leonard Williams with the Giants. Like, you got to compare him to, like, those kind of guys. Quinnen, I think what's impressed me most is that he's getting the same quarterback hits that we always talked about with Leonard Williams, right? Like, when Leonard Williams was here, we were always, well, he's pressuring the quarterback. Well, he's getting quarterback hits. He just doesn't get sacks, but he's disrupting the passer. Quinnen Williams finished Sunday with 3 quarterback hits. He also had a sack and a half. He also had 6 tackles. He also had 2 pass breakups. He also had a forced fumble. Like, this guy is, you can tell, really starting to come into his own. And there was, like, the San Francisco game where you saw it. The other games, he was kind of slow, not really, like, too many people. Like, it wasn't really there. You'd see a flash. You'd see him getting into the backfield. But I was almost like, man, it's another 34 defensive end. This is why you don't draft 34 defensive ends top 5. It's just not worth the payout. These last 5 or 6 games, the payout is there. I mean, this guy you're seeing, I watched – it was after the Jet game. So I was watching that 49ers Rams game when I was writing my column for after the game. I was watching, like, that. And what Aaron Donald does is I'm not old enough to say, like, I saw Lawrence Taylor play. Like, I didn't get a chance to see him play. Aaron Donald is the most dominant defensive player I've ever seen, more than J.J. Watt, more than any Khalil Mack, more than any other pass rusher you want to say. Aaron Donald does things I didn't know were humanly possible. I didn't know one player could wreck a game like that when every single offensive coordinator is going and saying, we need to stop him. And he still gets through plays, through triple teams. It's unbelievable what he's doing. But Quinnen, I don't put in that status. Maybe eventually he gets there. He's only 22. I just don't want to put that over his head. I don't think it's fair. But what you're seeing from Quinnen is wow. What you're seeing from Quinnen is a guy who can disrupt games. What you're seeing from Quinnen is a guy who can wreck games. Like, that's what you're getting out of him. That's what you're really getting out of this guy. And when you think about him as a foundational defensive player, you can now build around him. Again, that stat line, you can't mess around with it. I mean, he had 7 tackles. 4 of them were solo, sack and a half, 3 quarterback hits, tackle for loss, 2 pass breakups, 4 fumble. That's an impressive, wildly impressive stat line. That's very similar to what Joey Bosa did for the Chargers when everyone was ranting and raving about him. Just no one pays attention to Quinnen Williams because he's playing for the winless Jets right now. But you take Quinnen Williams as your left defensive end, right defensive end. Suddenly you put Matt Judon next to him, right? Or you draft somebody and you put the guy you draft next to him. You have Foley Fatukasi, Kyle Phillips on the other side, and then you can rotate Jabari Zuniga in there as well. The Jets have a player that you can now say, okay, there's our game wrecker. There's our enforcer. Now let's build around him. I mean, he's really taken that next step this year. And you want promise, you want optimism, you want things that you can really hang your hat on, like guys that you can say, I really like what this guy's doing. Quinnen is really blossoming. He really is. And that's a tremendous thing, because for a little bit, I thought McKagan might have whiffed on one, but Quinnen is really starting to come into his own.
Why would you have thought McKagan would have whiffed on? I can't imagine where those ideas would have come from. So he was good up front. The secondary, another story, as Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of picked them apart early and late. And Devontae Parker, this is 1 week after Keenan Allen had 16 for 145 and a touchdown. Devontae Parker, another elite receiver, 8 for 119. And after the game, Mike Gesicki, Jersey native, said about the Jets D, Devontae today, how many times are you going to play in man coverage? Play cover two or something else, because Devontae, he's going to run. He's going to get on a guy's hip. The ball's going to be on the back shoulder. He's going to catch it. He's not going to say anything when he celebrates. And he's right to a point. Are the Jets not – is Greg Williams not doing enough defensively to try to – I don't know. The players aren't there, so you can only do so much. But just, you know, is there hope for the secondary? Because there's really young players out there that I think we've seen take little steps, but the last 2 weeks against really good receivers and not a great quarterback on Sunday, really the secondary looks bad.
No, there's only you hit it there where there's only so much you can do with the players. Like, he's starting Lamar Jackson, undrafted free agent, and Bryce Hall, a fifth round pick who's playing his second or third game since injuring his ankle at UVA. Like, he had no training camp, no OTAs, nothing. So there's only so much he can do. So zone coverage isn't like just, oh, I'm just going to run zone. Like, it's not like that. Like, it's easier for a defensive back to run man. It's very simple in terms of, like, you're covering the guy in front of you. Don't let him catch the ball. Like, that's man coverage. With zone, you're going to have to worry about passing guys off. You have this depth, you have this level, you have all of these different things. It makes it more challenging for a corner to do that. So what Greg is trying to do to try to survive is simplify the defense for his defenders. He's trying to make it as easy as possible so they're not overthinking and they can just go out and play and let their athleticism and athletic ability shine. And honestly, it wasn't a terrible approach. It wasn't a terrible approach against the Chargers, because they looked a lot better the second half against the Chargers than they did the first. Yeah, I mean, Parker had a good game, 8 for 119, but the Dolphins scored 20 points. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 24-39, which is just a tick under 62% for 257 yards, with the 2 touchdowns he threw to Gesicki, but that was it. I mean, it was – or a touchdown to Gesicki, I'm sorry, and who was the other guy who caught it? Shaheem? Yeah, Shaheem caught one. Other than that, I mean, the Dolphins' offense, they scored 20 points. They weren't world beaters. They completed 50% of their third downs, which I guess is okay. Total yards, 345. I mean, but they gained 345 on almost 70 plays. The rushing yards kind of spiraled towards the end. But at no point, yeah, Parker was having his way with Bryce Hall. But at no point in that game was it like, oh, they're tearing apart. Oh, my God, the Jets defense can't stop a nosebleed. And we've said that before this season. It wasn't like that. And it was probably because the sacks were there. Quinnen Williams had 1.5. Neville Hewitt had 1. Jordan Jenkins was in there for 1. Foley Fatukasi had 1. The Jets forced the 2 fumbles to flip possession. They gave their offense a chance. You're always going to have players right now that are going to put up really impressive stat line against the Jets because they just don't have the talent in the secondary to compete. Without Bless Austin, Lamar Jackson's an undrafted free agent. Like, he probably should be on practice squad player right now. He shouldn't be on the Jets roster. Bless Austin should be a guy who's rotating in. He shouldn't be starting going up against an offense's number one corner. Like, you want to say like Hall is like a solid player. Sorry, talking about Hall. You want to say like Hall is a decent player, a good player, someone you believe in. Fine. You put him against an offense's number two, number three. Let him learn. He's going up against the X of every receiver every week. Now that's not what you want. So should the Jets have run zone? Yeah. Would that have helped? Probably. Yeah. But they need to play to the strengths of their players. And their players right now are guys that just simply feel more confident playing man. And Greg's just trying to survive right now. He's trying to put out a defense that just, it's the bend but don't break. And when you see just 20 points on a scoreboard where your offense was on the field for 27 minutes, picked up 10 first downs and had 260 yards of offense and scored 3 points, like only letting up 20 when your defense is constantly back on the field, that's a feather in your cap. And it's the bend but don't break, but it worked.
All right, Marissa, we have questions.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on the offensive line earlier, Connor. Rich says, what can you tell us about the, quote, team decision not to play Alex Lewis yesterday? And on a related note, will we ever see Cameron Clark?
So I'll tell the Lewis thing was first. I'm still working on getting those details as far as specifically. Like, Alex has kind of been a little like, it's fine, nothing big, nothing to see here. I think I'll be back in the starting lineup next week. The fact the Jets like have all these issues, Sam Darnold is back after his shoulder injury. They're worried about what it would be like if Sam Darnold gets hurt and you bench your guard, like your one legitimate competent guard, because you're always worried about Greg Van Roten. Like, that seemed a little concerning, especially because Alex has always been like Mr. Team player. Like, he's been the one who came to Gase's defense when Gase was receiving all this random offseason criticism. He was the one that came there. He's the team leader. He's the one who's always held himself so accountable. So to see him bench for disciplinary reasons was very odd, but we're still digging up those. But I would expect – I think he'll be back next week. I think that you'll see Alex Lewis back next week. Regarding Cameron Clark, and this is one where I've reached out to people over there with the Jets to kind of figure out what's going on there and why he isn't getting some playing time. He's somebody who's just – was very hurt by no offseason. He's somebody that the Jets took as a guy. They like his traits, but he came from Charlotte, not a big football school, obviously. He's going to need time to develop. Had no organized team activities, had no mini camp, was injured, so he missed a large chunk of training camp, missed a large chunk of the regular season. He just wasn't ready. Like, he looked like a fish out of water before he got hurt in training camp. Like, it was bad. It was really, really bad. That's why he wasn't getting first-team reps. The Jets were worried about him. They didn't like what they saw. He just needs time to get there, and I think this might be a redshirt year for him just because he's literally, like, I can't stress it enough. Like, I know people are like, oh, let him learn on the fly. Oh, let him get out there. Oh, let him see his reps. The guy just isn't ready yet. He's just not ready to play. So this might be one of those things where he's redshirted this year. Next year gets the full offseason. And in training camp, he's competing with Alex Lewis for that starting left guard spot. You know, that's what you're going to see. So it's just one of those where he wasn't ready. He is getting better. He is improving. He's much better today than he was yesterday. He's much better this week than he was back in camp. But he's still coming along a little slow. And the fact he was active was probably a good sign and a step in the right direction. But he's probably still a little away from starting. And I think as long as Sam Darnold's out there and Greg Van Roten's out there, I don't think you'll see Cameron Clark. I just don't think the Jets are going to be willing to make him susceptible to that kind of a beat down and worry about just another issue on the offensive line.
Anything else, Marissa, or have we run out of questions that we haven't covered?
Connor's pretty much covered everything nice. In his rant. The Jaguars did fire their GM yesterday. They're hoping that the Jets maybe pull one out.
I actually meant to check in on the draft check-in quick before we say goodbye, and that is that the Jags were oh so close to winning, and I feel like if the Jags would just win a game, it would be so good for Jets fans. I just feel like the stress level would go down, that they could go into these games watching the game and thinking, hey, if we pull this one out, it's fine. We're still going to get Trevor Lawrence. But the Jags just keep losing
Doug Marone,
these games.
Doug Marone was like trying to lose that game.
And then Trevor Lawrence on Saturday.
You know.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence on Saturday back on the field for the first time in a month, right? He missed two games because of COVID. They had an off week, and then they had a game canceled. So we haven't seen Trevor Lawrence forever. No rust. He threw for 300 yards in the first half of that game as they just blasted Pitt. Obviously, it's the ACC. Pitt's not a very good team, but another great showing from Trevor. There is still time on the podcast side to get The Athletic for just $1 per month. It's our best deal of the year. Go to theathletic.com/thecantwaitpodcast. 1 year of The Athletic for just $12. It's $1 a month. You can cancel anytime. On Twitter, Connor's at Connor_J_Hughes. I'm at Tim M. McMaster. And Marissa's at Marissa_Morris. We'll talk to you again later this week.